Hi, I'm Rob Wright with the CRN Podcast, and we are back after a bit of a holiday hiatus, and I am here with my good friends Steve Burke, Editor News CRN, and Rick Whiting, Senior Editor CRN. And you guys were at Oracle Open World recently. We are here to discuss the new Oracle. We have a big cover story package out this week with Oracle on the cover of one of the first major interviews with Mark Hurd since he came to Oracle, and you guys have a lot to discuss about this company going through some major changes, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, the big story is, you know, Oracle president Mark Hurd coming in and revamping the entire direct indirect sales model, and Oracle going from what somewhat of a channel antagonist to a really, I don't know if I'd say channel centric company, but a channel strong company with a slew of new hardware rebate incentives, the first ever. A great new small medium business focused product, the Oracle Database Appliance, and a strategy aimed at getting the solution providers to go in and drive sales in the SMB and getting the Oracle direct sales force, which is legendary for going in and battling partners for sales, getting that Oracle direct sales force to focus on the Global 2000. So a lot of big changes, a major sales transformation.
Yeah, Oracle has always been known as an aggressive direct sales company. That was its DNA. It was what it was always known for. And as far as the channel operations, it's always been kind of an uphill battle for them to get the attention and so forth that they need. Judson Althoff, the current channel chief, has been doing a pretty good job. 3 or 4 years he's been there, and his predecessor Raleigh Oakes have been making slow but steady improvements in increasing the channel sales and so forth, but it's just always been an uphill battle. The change here now is that with Mark Hurd in the president's office, they've got, I think, a real advocate that was lacking at the top before this, and I think that's the big change.
What was the vibe like at the show? You know, from partners, what were they discussing? Were they excited? Were they?
Sure. At a high level, just definitely the fact that they are, there's a sense among the channel partners, and you know, Oracle has between 20 and 25,000 channel partners, many international, I think 22,000 is the official number, a feeling that they're getting the attention and access to the top executive ranks that they didn't have before. So there is a sense of, we're finally getting noticed that just didn't exist. And then Steve mentioned this database appliance, kind of at the other end, going from the high level executive stuff to the nitty gritty product stuff. This is kind of a breakthrough product that's really geared toward the channel. And Oracle's had some programs before, their Accelerate program, which was geared toward the channel to help them sell a software, a ERP software, and so forth. But this is really the first really channel-centric product. So at both the high level, getting the attention that they didn't have before, and products that are geared for the channel, they're just feeling really good about being an Oracle channel partners these days.
And that's interesting, because, obviously they're still kind of dealing with I don't want to say fallout, but sort of questions and sort of lingering issues from the Sun acquisition, where people are kind of wondering, you know, what was this acquisition for? How is this going to affect the channel? Where are the Sun channel partners going? How are they going to be affected? And there were just a lot of question marks around the company and its strategy. And do you feel like, you know, going into that event and then afterwards and talking with the top executives, that some of those questions, or most of those questions, were answered, and that the partners feel like they're answered?
Well, there's no doubt that the Sun acquisition sort of forced this issue, and Oracle's had to look at its channel program. I mean, Sun was a very channel-focused company, whereas, as I said, Oracle's DNA was not. When they became a hardware company, in addition to just being a software company, they had to sort of rethink what they were going to do. So that's why the last 2 years, almost 2 years since they acquired Sun, mm-hmm. they've had to think, okay, what does this mean for our channel program? The big news in Oracle the last couple of years, aside from the channel, is that they've been focusing on what they call engineered systems, selling complete hardware, software, top to bottom, turnkey systems. And that plays well into their channel strategy. It has been kind of a wrenching change for Sun's channel partners, certainly some that were very heavily focused on reselling. They've had to sort of adopt the Oracle mantra of adding value and building services or whatever. But I think overall it's a sound strategy, but it has been a big change for them. And then, of course, Mark Hurd coming on later on last year has sort of accelerated these changes.
Steve, what's your take on it?
Yeah, to me, the big story is the change in character of Oracle from an enterprise focused database company, that's their crown jewels, to a to this integrated hardware software. I guess you'd call it specialized solutions. So they have, to me, the big story in the last couple of years has been the Exadata, right, Rick, which is their hardware software integrated database. It's like they call them the Exadata database machine almost. It's almost a new class of product that they've come up with, creating the whole stack, the whole hardware stack, and pulling it together with hardware software. To me, that's a huge change, and what they're talking about is really lowering the cost of implementing, doing database migrations, the cost of supporting this stuff. So it's a dramatic change. The big story is that this could have a real big impact on industry standard hardware providers that have provided the hardware for the Oracle database and other Oracle software products. So HP, Dell, these guys are under attack right now from Oracle. Oracle is going into every single account that owns an Oracle database, an Oracle software product, whether it's PeopleSoft, JD Edwards, and they're going in and saying, hey, look, you need to move to the integrated hardware software platform. And this is the opportunity in front of them. It's a huge story. To me, what's exciting is that they've changed their channel strategy to become much more of a mainstream competitor to the HPs of the world and the Dells of the world. Because think about it, these guys never had hardware rebate incentives. They never had the channel program dynamics, even on the software side, right, Rick? I mean, they never really had the what I'd call a world-class channel program. And I think they've made just such a remarkable change. And I think, you got to give Mark Hurd a lot of credit, because this whole science and art of selling and making sure that your partners are out in the sales trenches and maximizing your sales coverage, and he's really done an amazing job for me looking at it over a 1 year period. I mean, the change to me is just remarkable that he's been able to make that much progress in a year. And I think it's because that's his thing, It's his sales and operations savvy that's really been put to good use. And I gotta give Oracle CEO Larry Ellison credit for not mucking it up.
Well, I definitely want to turn to your interview with Hurd and sort of your impressions of where he is at this point and the job that he's doing. But before we go there, the two things. First, I want to talk about Oracle's channel chief, because he deserves a lot of credit, obviously, for sort of the changes that are going on there. And I wanted to get both your impressions of Judson Althoff. and start there. And then I also want to move to the competition and talk a little bit about HP and Salesforce. I know these guys have talked a lot about going in there and being more competitive about some of the guys that they face every day. So Altoff, their channel chief, he's been there a number of years. To me, as somebody who doesn't follow Oracle as closely, he's kind of like almost like a Greg Davis with Dell. He's got a very tough job, and that he is the point man for a company that isn't seen as the most channel friendly or trustworthy, and has a heritage of a history of rubbing partners the wrong way occasionally, and not being the most the easiest vendor to work with. But he's been there now for a few years and really tried to sort of, you know, hold that place together and sort of elevate the company's channel strategy. Is that sort of a fair, Rick, is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been the channel chief for 3 years now, and he's obviously passionate about the channel. I talk to him at least once a year, a couple times a year, either at Oracle Open World or on the phone. And he's been making steady progress over the years. They implemented the specialized program the last couple of years to help partners elevate themselves through certification and training to offer more services and add more value to products. The channel accounts for about half of Oracle's sales, although a lot of that is international, and more than half of transactions. But for Judson and for his predecessor, Raleigh Oakes, while they've been making what I would describe as steady but incremental progress over the years, it's been an uphill battle, trying to get the attention from the top, which is where kind of going back to bringing Mark Hurd in. He's really done a very good job the last several years, given what he's had to work with. What he's got now is really got the advocacy from the top, that which I think is the key thing. I think he's the right person in the right place right now.
Steve, what do you think?
12-year Oracle veteran, 3 years heading up the channel. To me, the big story there is that he, I think Rick summed it up, he's the right executive at the right time. And I think, Oracle President Mark Hurd was lucky to have someone with those strong channel skills. And you talk to partners and they talk about his knowledge of how to navigate Oracle, which is its own unique culture, and really the progress that's been made over the last year. Judson's been key because Judson knows what buttons to press to get it done inside Oracle. No small task to really be inside that organization and take an organization which has been all direct sales. I'm not say all the time, but most of the time, right? I mean, this was a direct sales charged company with just not a lot of channel DNA throughout the whole company.
Right.
And so, because of Hurd's support and Judson's knowledge of the channel, you bring those two things together, and he was able to really make remarkable, the company's been able to make remarkable progress over the last year. Judson was on a kind of steady march to improve the channel dynamics inside the company, but when Hurd came in and Hurd got involved, now it went off the charts.
Yeah.
To me, it's just an amazing story. And I guess one of the things that when you talk to partners, one of the things partners really love about Judson is, he's a great listener, and again, he knows what buttons to press inside the company. There's more listening and more responsiveness to partners than there ever has been inside that company, and you got to give a lot of credit to Judson.
And that goes a long way. I just to divert here to that point that you made, Steve, about communication and responsiveness. I mean, so much of what we look at and what we cover at CRM when it comes to vendor channel programs, you see rebates, you see discounts, you see all these sort of bells and whistles and deal registration. But to me, it seems like if you can at least start with a executive team that gives some access to the partners and listens and is responsive to at least some of their issues and some of their complaints, if they can just get somebody to listen, sometimes the partners will give the vendors a lot of a lot of credit and a lot of support and a lot of loyalty if they just kind of lend them an ear. You know, if they just listen, if they can get some access, and it seems like Oracle is really going in a different direction than they used to. Because I mean, we know from obviously we've been here a long time. We've been covering the channel for a number of years, and I mean, geez, Oracle. You would never hear Larry Ellison even say the word channel sometimes. Like, you know, it was just one of those things where it wasn't even acknowledged, and you would hear points from, I remember covering software years ago, you'd hear partners saying that it was just hard to get anybody on the phone, let alone a channel chief at the level of Judson Althoff. But now, it's a different world. It is a new Oracle.
Rob, thanks for bringing this up, because this is such an important point for the channel. And, you know, Herd, who to me is kind of a channel scientist and a great advocate for the channel, number one on CRN's channel advocate list, always says, people like to overcomplicate things with sales and the sales channel.
Yeah.
And sometimes the simplest things are the hardest. And I think this point of listening to partners, really listening, and then responding quickly is such an important part of any good channel leader. And I think that's happening now at Oracle. And I think it started, you know, I think Judson has it, but I think, you know, Herd got in there in the sales trenches and did that listening too, and then responded. So it's such a big deal. I come back to that old cliche, which is, you know, you've got two ears and one mouth. You know, that means you should use your listening skills twice as much as your speaking skills, right? At least.
There you go.
And I think that the good channel chiefs and good channel executives do that.
Well, I want to turn to the competition, because that's obviously a big part of the Oracle picture and the new Oracle right now. They obviously have been going head-to-head with HP lately. They're going to compete a lot more with HP now that they have the hardware component. I might have tweeted this a while back, but the HP last year, everything that went on with Leo and some of the moves like autonomy, I mean, I just sort of envisioned Larry Ellison, you know, leaning back in his chair, cackling and grinning ear to ear and just thinking, you know, I got to pinch myself to make sure that this isn't a dream, because the way that this, you know, company is messing up right now, it couldn't work out better for Oracle. Do you feel like they, you know, I'll start with you, Rick. Do you feel like they're kind of taking advantage of some of the things that are going on out there with their competition, namely HP? Are they going aggressively after some of those accounts and getting some of those partners to at least listen to Oracle's proposition?
Well, there's no doubt that they're going after some of the customer bases of their competitors. When this database appliance product came out, some of the channel partners I talked to noted that, there's a lot of customers out there with aging Sun systems, which of course is now Oracle, but there's also a lot of customers out there with aging HP and IBM products who are looking for, it's time for them to upgrade their hardware, and they're looking for a path. And what they're pitching themselves as right now, Oracle is as an alternative to take advantage of that. So certainly they're aggressively going after the HP customer base there. Then there's also been this turmoil about, you know, Oracle dropping its support of Itanium, and some people might see that as sort of a playing hardball from a competitive standpoint, but you know, we don't have to get too deeply into that. But obviously, that if Oracle doesn't see the business there, it makes sense for them to drop the software support. But you could also see that as just playing hardball in the competitive sense. So, yeah, they're obviously going after the HP customer base, and Oracle has been executing so well for years now. If you just look at their quarterly earnings, they just don't seem to be able to do any wrong. I mean, aside from what their competitors do, but the fact that some of the competitors are stumbling right now is just making it easier for Oracle.
Do you feel like, looking at what they're doing now, I know in their most recent quarterly earnings, I believe that they were pretty good, but I think they said that their hardware sales had fallen?
Yeah, this is the one issue that they got to deal with, that Sun's hardware sales were falling even before the acquisition. And Oracle is trying to reverse that. Now, what Oracle has been saying is that what's been falling off is the low-cost, low-margin commodity hardware sales, which Ellison has made quite clear he doesn't just give a hoot about. They want to just focus on the high-margin, high-value hardware stuff, either bundled, you know, with Oracle, particularly bundled with Oracle software, as with either just in the engineered sense, like with the Exalogic and Exadata, or just, the partners selling hardware in conjunction with Oracle software. So they're saying that it's natural that their hardware sales are going to continue to fall for a while. Now, how much of that is marketing spin is the big question. And whether they can arrest the slide and keep the sales of the higher margin Spark-based and the higher margin Intel-based stuff that they inherited from Sun. That's going to be something to continue to monitor going forward. Right now, in the straits of hardware server side, IBM seems to be the person that has the momentum. So we're going to have to see how that battle shakes out.
So let's say if we fast forward two or three quarters from now and we're into middle of next year, late next year, and Oracle's hardware is still, you know, sliding significantly, will that sort of be looked at as maybe a lost opportunity, a failure for Oracle because they didn't maybe pick up more momentum, they didn't take advantage of sort of the HP's stumbling and sort of chaotic executive changes and all that jazz?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the issues over at HP, certainly Wall Street, the analyst, and everyone else are going to say, geez, you know, you spent all this money to acquire Sun X years ago, and now the hardware sales have dwindled down to X. What did you get for that investment? I mean, they obviously acquired some key software technologies in the process, but the hardware was the main thing. So then the question is going to be, what did they really gain through the Sun acquisition? So it is going to be a valid question. They'll always have these Exadata and Exalogic high-end sales. Those seem to be doing quite well, but as part of the overall Sun acquisition, if they don't aren't able to hang on to at least a decent portion of Sun customers, people are going to be asking, what went wrong here?
Just my opinion. I don't think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see those hardware sales climb. I think to me the big story from Oracle Open World is the not only the incredible change in the sales dynamics that are going to power, you know, this integrated hardware software sales, but also the amazing product refresh on the Sun side. You know, one of the big stories there was a slide that Oracle CEO Larry Ellison put up called "The Sun Also Rises," and I think, you know, officially at this year's Oracle Open World, you know, Oracle has really delivered on the Sun acquisition in terms of new innovative products that really, you've got to give Ellison credit for that, because he's the guy heading up the R&D team. He's the guy that made it happen. I've got to give it to him. Yeah. The product line is fantastic. I think that's such a testament to that Oracle technical superiority that they've taken Sun and they've brought a whole new wave of innovative integrated hardware software products to market, and they've got the sales dynamics to go with it. To me, I think, and this is something that Herd talked about in our interview, is that, hey, look for a steady drumbeat march of new innovative products to accompany this sales model. And you know, as someone who dug into it and talked to the partners, got inside that Oracle organization and dug into it, I think you're going to see those hardware sales are going to come. And it wouldn't surprise me if they come quicker than people think.
All right, well, I want to turn now to the cloud, because there's another competitor out there that obviously Oracle is keeping an eye on in Salesforce. And I guess this gives us a good transition point to talk about, Steve, your interview with Mark Hurd. Again, I think that was the first major interview he did since he had come to Oracle, talking with CRN. And one of the things that I thought was interesting in reading the Q&A that you did with him was sort of his view of the public cloud and Oracle's place in it. And he had a lot of interesting things to say about the competition, especially with Salesforce. What tell us a little bit about you know, Oracle and its view of you know, cloud in general, I guess, not just public cloud, and where it sort of they fit as a company and how they play against Salesforce.
Well, Rick's covered them for a long time, but I'll give you my take. I mean, the one of the big stories from Open World was that Ellison came out with an Oracle public cloud.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a pretty powerful product launch from Oracle. And I think Oracle's very savvy here with this with cloud. And I think they're going to work with customers individually and say, hey, look, let's talk about your IT strategy. What do you want to put into the cloud? What would you like to keep on site that you want to make sure the security's there? But I think the great thing now about Oracle coming out with the public cloud is you can play any way you want. You can bring any solution you want to market as a solution provider or as an Oracle salesperson. They've got the product portfolio to really respond to customer needs. And you know, one of the big stories at Open World was Benioff's Salesforce.com CEO Mark Benioff's keynote being, you know, according to Oracle, moved at the last minute because of the size of the show.
Oh, sure.
And Benioff, of course, accused Oracle of squelching his speech because they're not cloud friendly.
Because they didn't have 5 hours to devote to Benioff's keynote.
Right.
No,
but
I'm just kidding.
But I guess the to me, you know, you've really got to dig beneath some of the mudslinging and say, okay, technically, how does this thing stack up? And there's no doubt that Oracle bringing a public cloud to market neutralizes some of the Salesforce.com appeal here, right? And Oracle's got a product line to go head-to-head against Salesforce, which is the kind of the poster company, and with Mark Benioff being the poster boy for cloud, right? Really aggressive marketing on Mark's part to make that happen. But to me, I mean, I was impressed that Oracle's got its cloud story together. It's out there making it happen. What do you think, Greg?
Well, it's funny. In the last couple of years, Larry Ellison's made some well-publicized comments dissing the cloud movement. Mostly the terminology, arguing that to some degree it's what Oracle and some other companies have been offering one form or another all along, and then the cloud is just sort of a fad term. So, of course, it was interesting this year that they go haul hog and come out with a public cloud service. You know, their argument is that while you have you know, guys like Salesforce who tout themselves as being a cloud computing company, that Oracle is despite, you know, the announcements this year, that they're being a little bit more low-key about it, in that they're saying, yeah, if you want cloud, we can give you cloud. You want hybrid, we can give you hybrid. You want on-premise, we can give you on-premise. And to some degree, we've always done that. So they're sort of touting their cloud capabilities, but also not acting like this is something brand new. So they're kind of walking a line a little bit there. So
it was interesting too. And Steve, the Q&A that you did with him, he had an interesting point when he was talking about Oracle Public Cloud, saying basically it's sort of, you know, it's a hybrid model. It's going to be flexible. It's not going to lock you in. And he said, you know, we think this is a competitive advantage because if you go into Salesforce.com's cloud, you are not coming out. And I thought that was interesting because it does seem like they are trying to differentiate their offering and kind of be almost more like an Amazon rather than a Salesforce.
Yeah.
I want to go to now to just as we close out here, Steve, what were your impressions from, you know, speaking with her and, you know, where he sees the company going, where he sees Oracle going, how it's evolving, and sort of his role. I know that he sort of downplayed his sort of his channel advocate, his channel zealot status, but he has a great reputation among channel partners. So where do you see like that company going now with him, and what were your impressions from talking with him?
I mean, to me, I just see Oracle covering more of the addressable market and increasing their market share. This was at one time a very, you know, enterprise focused software company. It's a completely different company now. Mm-hmm. And to Ellison's credit, bringing Herd in has changed the sales dynamics, you know, 180 degrees. I mean, they have changed completely in terms of how they approach the market. And that's because, you know, Herd is, it's because of his sales and operations savvy. That's what he does. So, you know, Herd looks at total addressable market and how to get more of that total addressable market. So instead of looking, you know, one of the things he was criticized for was cutting at HP, which you know what? He cut, to me, he cut the fat. And at the same time, he dramatically increased the size of the sales force and the channel incentives and the channel sales force. So he's doing the same thing at Oracle. How many companies do you see right now that are increasing their direct sales force by 25% and their channel by 25%? This is remarkable. They're making huge investments to cover more of the market. They're bringing the, and they're not even bringing the sales talent. They've got the products. Because one thing about Oracle, they deliver products that are top of the pyramid in terms of technical superiority. That is Oracle's claim to fame. The database that runs faster than any database out there. And you know what? They're doing that in other market segments. And they're bringing an integrated hardware software stack. So it's a completely different company. And the big story is, the big takeaway is, these guys are going to get a bigger piece of the small, medium business market. Bad news for companies like HP, Dell, industry standard hardware makers. Guess what? There's a new player in the game. And guess what? They've got great sales talent and great products.
And a lot of money, too.
And a lot of money.
Was there one thing, I guess, in talking with him in your interview that surprised you or that stood out or that you thought, hey, that's interesting, I hadn't thought of that? Anything?
Well, I think, as someone who's passionate about the channel, to me, what I loved hearing from Herd is just how he kind of changed the sales game over there, and some of the his view of the channel, and the fact that the channel should be treated just like your direct sales force. More they make, the more they sell, the more they make. That whole idea of treating the channel just like your direct sales force. Here's another thing that he said to me, which was the set me back on my heels and was the number one takeaway. You know, we asked him directly, you know, he made all these big sales and operations changes, and we call him a channel zealot and a channel advocate, and I think he's even referred to himself in the past as a channel zealot. But when we talked about that, and we asked Mark Herd about that, he said, hey, look, that's just a wrong way to look at it. You know, the right way to look at this is, it's the right thing to do. It has nothing to do with affection or love of the channel. It has to do with getting the model right. And you know what? There's not enough executives out there who understand the channel and who know how to get the model right. Yeah. That it's business. Selling through the channel is good business. That's what the big takeaway is. That's what was, to me, you know, getting to Herd as a channel, you know, kind of somebody who's really, to me, at the top of the pyramid, this whole art and science of selling more, right? Leveraging your direct and indirect sales channels. To me, that's the big takeaway. And to me, what I'd like to do is stand up on the top of the Empire State Building with a sign and say, "Hey, look, selling through the channel is good business. That's what it's about. That's the big takeaway from Oracle President Mark Hurd."
Well, we'll let you get on with that. We should probably wrap it up here before you get on top of the Empire State Building like King Kong or something here. Steve, I appreciate the time. Rick, thanks for your insight as well. Again, this is Rob Wright with CRN, and thanks for listening to our podcast on the new Oracle and our interview with Mark Hurd, and we will see you again next time.